All right, Donovan. One, two, one, two, three.
Long weekend, long trip to make. Bunch of buds up at the lake.
Welcome to the Indie Marketers Podcast. My name is Mike McFarland, and this is episode 8. And it's a legendary episode. We have musician, Juno Award winner, author, father, husband, podcast host, Jeremy Taggart from the Taggart and Torrance podcast, joining the Indie Marketers podcast today. And I'm going to follow suit like I did last week. We're going to jump right into the conversation because it's such an incredible story just hearing about the growth of this podcast, and I can't wait for y'all to hear it. So let's jump right into it. We'll jump into some other shit at the end of the episode as we normally do, but for now, here it is, Jeremy Taggart.
Fighting Terry was a huge mistake. Looked around, he was gone. Wasn't face down on the lawn. Searched the woods and all that turned up his moldy jorts and a solo cup. Terry got wasted.
We have drummer, musician, Juno Award winner, podcast host, father, and husband, Jeremy Taggart. Jeremy, how's it going, bud?
How you doing, Mike? How's it going? Bud? Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. Now, we're probably going to use the word bud quite a few times throughout this. For folks that haven't listened to the Taggart and Torrance podcast, for folks that maybe haven't heard you or Jonathan Torrance reference that word, what is bud? What does that mean?
Bod is just somebody that you can count on, someone that's there for you. And I think it was just our interpretation of bud, which bud itself is a little harsh in a sense, because sometimes a complete asshole will call you buddy, you know? But you won't hear like someone upset, you know, saying, hey, bod. So yeah, it was just kind of a term, a good Canadian term of endearment in a way that caught on with just first and foremost between me and Jonathan saying it all the time. And then, the podcast is an extension of just our friendship. Like it's our weekly catch up, you know? So
yeah,
it's in a way. Yeah.
Let's talk about the podcast, because that's how I knew you as Jeremy Taggart, drummer from Our Lady Peace, when I was growing up and seeing you play drums and hearing all your music. I feel like I've actually gotten to know you pretty much because of the podcast. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but I don't think Taggart and Torrance was your first venture into podcasting. I think you.
No, I started the Taggart's Take podcast on. It was Alan Cross, when he was at 102.1 The Edge, just kind of, I was at a meeting, and I don't know what we were talking about, content on some level. And he said, you know, what do you think about this podcasting thing? And I was like, well, I don't know anything about it, but it sounds like a pretty good idea. And so that was where Taggart's Take came from, and it ended up being on I think 6 chorus stations across the country, most like the rock or alternative ones. And it was sponsored by Rogers, and it was just like a 5-minute interview or 5-minute bit or whatever, 5 days a week. So that was kind of when no one even would listen to podcasts, basically. So there was no even point to track how much, you know, how many people were listening or hearing it. So it was such an early thing into it, but I we did a lot of me. Tim Oxford did it with me back then, and he was recording it always with me there, and we were into the wee hours of the morning every week, and he did a lot of work for free. It's like so much work that he did all the time, and it was fun. We had a lot of good times doing it, but I just kind of saw that in my mind. If I was like, well, if I'm going to do another podcast, it can't be that such a production where, you know, you have to kind of create vignettes and stuff. I just figured it'd be easier And I think it had to do with going on the Jay and Dan pod a few times and just getting used to that kind of a conversation as opposed to bits. And I'd always wanted to work with Jonathan at some level because I'd known him from, you know, when the Trailer Park Boys did OLP tours. Like, they were on tour with us and became friends with those guys. So I'd known Jonathan for a long time and always wanted to do something. And I guess hearing him on the Jay and Dan pod and just knowing him, I was like, well, it'd be a lot easier and a lot more fun if I'm doing it with someone else as opposed to trying to do this alone. And he probably had the same thing in mind. I mean, he could have, because podcasting was just early still at that point. That was, I guess, not, I don't know, eight years ago almost, right? Nine years ago.
Longer than that. Like,
yeah, like 10 years ago, maybe. But
yeah.
So we ended up just trying a few episodes together, and it was perfect. Like, we even tried guests for a little, like, as you probably remember,
yep.
For a few episodes, and it was just like, whenever we had a guest, it would just change the whole thing. Like, our conversations were different before or like afterwards, and you just couldn't kind of go at the same flow. So I was like, I suggested let's try no guests and see if we could solidify just the conversation. And through early tweets from people that were listening too, they really liked just him and I talking. So I guess we solidified that idea, and it made sense that, like, it's probably best just to have no guests and just keep rolling like that, because, you know, it's an hour, but I mean, you just enjoy conversation. That's probably why we still do it. It's just a great chat.
I was going to say, I remember hearing you on the Jay and Dan pod. For our American friends, this is Jay on Right. Dan O'Toole had a podcast when they were on TSN. That was wildly popular for quite a while. And I remember hearing you on it quite a bit, hearing Jonathan on it quite a bit. And that was, for me, I think that's how I figured you guys got together. I didn't put back together the whole him touring with OLP and the Trailer Park Boys and all of that.
Yeah.
But was it different for you in the sense that, like, you went from a very productionized podcast to all of a sudden having all of your own control and basically determining how and what format you want to do? Did you have a vision in your head, like, outside of just wanting it to make it more conversational, kind of what this podcast would be with Jonathan?
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, I figured if we can have an hour and two or three points that kind of get a real discussion that anybody could have, and then maybe a game or something funny, a bit, or, you know, sketch or something. So that was kind of our point. And I think we didn't find, and especially when you do live shows, because we felt doing the same bits over and over live was not cool. Like, it just gets stale right away and it's not fun anymore. So we thought, you know, we try to add mostly improv to the live show, but it's based on that same idea of conversations or ideas or just being able to kind of be more free with bits and stuff like that, or even if we're playing musically. So I think it's more about, like, it makes us happy to laugh a lot and enjoy it and look back at the recording of as just kind of, it felt good to do it, and anything else wouldn't feel that way. And we've had moments where it goes back and forth, or we have highs or lows, but it's always kind of brought back by the conversation and the respect that we have for each other. You know, that's the thing. And then maybe because it's never been a financially super successful, that's been the glue that's held it together, is just like the respect, and we're friends. Like, if we weren't friends, we wouldn't be doing the podcast. You know what I mean? So we really kind of, there's such a respect for each other. that it's even gotten to the point now that we've weathered storms, you know what I mean? And it's still strong. So it's great.
And I think just as a very early listener of the podcast, like the authentic
ground floor bod,
Yeah. I'll save that story for how I got involved with working with you guys for a snippet on the podcast. But I think the thing that always drove me to really enjoying your podcast was your authenticity. Like, it felt very authentic. It didn't feel rehearsed. It did feel like two guys who were just having a phone call with each other. And I think the other people, and folks should know too, you're based in Ontario. Jonathan's based at East. So it's not like you're getting in the same room and having these conversations, which I think has been going on for close to 10 years.
Yes.
Which is unbelievable. Very early on, when did you start to realize that maybe you guys were onto something? Because obviously folks know who you are. People know who Jonathan is. It's not, it's not like the, it's not a slam dunk in terms of all of a sudden just getting people to listen to you because they know who you are. But there was definitely a groundswell, I think, with listeners who were listening. Did you guys have like a moment where you guys realized, hey, this is actually like taking off a little bit?
Well, I think what's cool about it is what I think initially is why we had such a good start was anybody that knew who I was and knew who Jonathan was that tuned in, not everybody, but a lot of people, like, they started to listen and like it right away, you know? So I think we had the factor of the checking it out, but it's a lot of those people stuck with it from the beginning. And like, they're either a fan of OLP and anything that I was doing, or Jonathan's roles, you know, famous roles and classic roles that he's done, but also knowing how cool he is and how not much of a nice person he is. So I think those people that initially listened kind of kept listening. And then we were just so low tech and not knowing how to do it. And we still are so terrible. We just didn't know how to get anything past SoundCloud to get on iTunes. So we're, you know, asking you, and we're asking, I think Sean Woodley helped out, who works at TSN, to finally get us onto iTunes. And we had the kind of a really nice groundswell on iTunes when we started there, and it just kind of continued. So, that's really been what it is. And also through the pandemic, I think a lot of people look forward to the pod because, you know, either when we're holed up at home or just kind of sick and tired of the same old rigmarole that's been happening with, you know, everybody just feeling like, when's this shit gonna end? You know what I mean? So that was good too, I think. And I think, we talk about what's going on, but we don't really dwell on it. Sometimes we'll have our personal rants about being pissed off about certain things, but we try to, you know, just realize that people don't need to be hearing people yelling about stuff while they're walking their dog and trying to have a hang on Sunday, you know? So we try to, we keep it real because it is it's a reflection of our lives. But we don't like to you know, we try to create joy. You know, that's a big part of it too.
And you guys have done a fantastic job. I think back to all the bits that you guys have come up with, the stories you guys have told, and I think more than anything, you guys have really let your audience kind of feel a part of the podcast too. Like, and I'm one of those folks. Like, I like, we work on the website together. We work on getting the podcast up every week. There's this feeling of community that you guys have built with these bods and bodism and things like that.
Yeah.
Did you, I guess when you started to see that kind of growing through the podcast, what made you kind of think like, hey, this would be fun to maybe take what we're doing on the road and actually see some of the people that are listening?
Yeah. Well, we just thought it would be fun to try it. And then we did it. And that's a whole other level, different connection, playing live shows. Like, we did Canadian Music Week. We did one, and that was a blast. And, you know, like, we had the Flatliners playing, and just, it was like, just a great night. And I think that kind of solidified the idea that we could do a live performance. And that's part of what we do. There's no real boundaries. Like, I think that's the book came about from just like, what, why don't we try this? Or the album with Dynalone, same thing. Why don't we try this? And it's a kind of a bummer that we didn't get to tour the album and have it come out. Yeah. I mean, it was right smack in the middle of the beginning of the pandemic. So it was a terrible time to try and do anything live. There was no live.
Well, and you
now that we're kind of just coming back now, right? We do look forward to more shows, and I mean, it's really fun to connect with everybody, and it's been a while, so it'll be a good time to get it back together for sure.
Yeah, like I don't remember the last year. It was probably 2018 or 2019 when you guys toured.
Yeah, 2019, right towards the end of that.
And you mentioned the pandemic and the album Buds, which came out right at the right smack dab when the pandemic
June 2020. Yeah, lockdown number two.
You guys got really creative with promoting it, which I thought was really, which was really cool. Like you got put into a scenario where you can't go on tour, you can't go out and meet people, you can't get the album out that way. You go to YouTube and you start creating music videos for the songs on the album, but you're both doing it from your homes. What was
Zoom
that
like? Videos?
Yeah.
Just it was ridiculous, but it was fun. I mean, because they were cheap. We're just doing it on our phones and having somebody edit it together. And so there was also Dynalone, they were awesome too, to help and come up with a lot of ideas and just to get things accomplished basically, but with our very limited budget. You know, we ended up probably blowing through the budget or not far into recording, to be honest. So videos, we just were just like just splitting hairs, but we ended up doing I think we got 5 songs maybe or something like that, but so that's good. That there's a good, even after the fact, there's a good little kind of example of the album visually as well as the record too. So that'll also be part of we never even got to go and sign vinyl copies, you know, for the pod. So there will be celebration and all those bringing all that stuff back out to everybody.
Awesome. No, and I very much look forward to when you guys go back on the road, because it's always, I think I mentioned community. It's, I think, one of the coolest things that you guys really promote about these shows. Again, it's that sense of community. And when you go and you meet people, it doesn't matter if you've never met someone before or whatnot. There's a connection, and you guys have genuinely built connections with people. Like, I'm friends with people that I've never met or only met a few times, literally because of your podcast. And
that's awesome.
I think it's powerful in the sense that you're able to use a medium like that to kind of elicit that sort of reaction. Has, I guess, with the idea of podcasting, have you guys ever thought about doing more outside of podcasting? So we talked about we haven't really talked about the book. We'll talk about the book. We talked about the album. Do you guys see it as a springboard to do other things as well?
Yeah, but it has to be something that's, you know, feels right. You know, we've had some silly ideas that you might have to wrestle through, and those ones just end up being, you know, it's just not, it's not good because it doesn't come from the right place. You know, right. It has to be something that makes sense. Like, it makes sense with the book because we're telling stories and we're explaining stuff about Canada or whatever. And with the album, it makes perfect sense because of the music side, and also the fact that we both can play, and the different characters and all of the fun that we can have with that. So it makes perfect sense. Outside of that, I mean, it's more situations than actual, you know, models. But you know, you never know. There's always tried TV a little bit, but TV landscape has changed a lot. So I think it has to kind of make sense for it to work at this point, for sure.
Yeah. What do you enjoy about podcasting? I mean, outside of talking to Jonathan, you got into podcasting when podcasting wasn't really a thing. Now it's obviously very, very much a thing. What's kept you motivated to want to continue to do it, especially taking it on tour? It's like pretty much every week for 10 years.
Yeah, because I still think, you know, like, it's like, we're going to be huge, Jonathan. This thing's going to be huge. There's still that thought in my head. Oh, no, just keep plugging away. It's going to be big. You know, I think it's more of that, there's a lot of people that listen to it and kind of rely on it in a sense, because we get so much feedback from people online I run into people in such odd places that I'd be like, really, you listen to the podcast? And it's like, yeah, man, I love it. That happens enough, like out in public, that I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it makes sense that like we should keep doing it, because there's people all over the place that have a great time with it.
Absolutely.
And they kind of, and it's been going on now so long that they just get used to that little snip of that conversation or the feeling that we create. So, and like you said, we haven't really changed it from the get go. So it is always going to be us just being real, for sure.
Yeah. What would you tell someone like myself? Like, I'm on, this is my 8th episode of my own podcast. What would you tell someone like me who is getting into the podcast industry, like very early on?
Well, I don't think I would create a podcast unless I can fill it with listenable content. You know what I mean? It has to kind of keep you interested for an hour or half an hour or whatever it is. So, that's all that matters. Like, if it's listenable content, if it's something that people, you don't even have to say, oh, I'd want to listen to it more than once, because that's bullshit. Like, nobody wants to hear something twice. So it's just to be like, oh, you know, that's like something I either learned something, or I had a couple laughs, or, you know, just something that is listenable from beginning to end. And that's it. So I know there's people that, like, I talk to friends. I'm never the guy like, oh, did you listen to this episode or listen to that? But like, I'm sure there's people that are both like, I tried to listen to it and I can't handle it, or, you know, I listened to it and I liked it, or it's like, so there's no like thing we're doing right or could do more of that I think would make people listen to it more. It always comes back to I know the reason we do it is because we have a good time doing it. It's fun to do it. So that's the other thing. Because you have to put them out every week. And that's not, it's easy to say. You're like, oh, there's so much time in a week. But once you've done like, you know, 5, 6, 7, it's like, oh man, I gotta have this in for this. Because there's always like 3 days of this. And then like, then by the end of it, you've missed the window for it to come out. Like, and it's like, because we have, you know, Jonathan's recording his stuff, I'm recording my stuff, we send it to Tim Oxford, who's always on tour with the Arkells or in the studio, so he's super busy, he has to find time. So there's like, there's all kinds of different moving parts, and we have to get it to you on time because you got to put the ads in properly, all the tags, like, so there's a lot of like moving, if one moving part happens, like, oh, we're out for a week, like we're off the rails for a week, and it happens, like that's it's the way it rolls. But I mean, just have to keep in mind that if you're going to do a podcast, it's all about getting it out there. Just keep it going, and don't put something out that's like, that was, you know, that just was kind of boring, or didn't, you know, like, then redo it. You know, having something happen in everyone that makes you feel like, this is what I'm trying to do. Did I achieve that goal in this episode? Did I at least, you know, have a some kind of checklist in your mind that works, you know? But at the end of the day, it has to be listenable, something that's just like, because, you know, when you're having conversations with friends, that's all those are. Like, if you had a good time, you had a good conversation probably, or made some good laughs or some cracks or whatever, right? Like, there's always those things. Those are the hooks of life, have to be in the podcast, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, I think, like, a few, like, for me, even though, like, this conversation may only be like 45 minutes to an hour, it's the work before and after that you don't really think about sometimes. And I know all of it because I see you guys do it every week.
I know, especially because you're doing the video too, right? So that means you might have to add some logos or something on. Like,
there's so much shit, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. But and in all honesty, I can't, like, the fact that pretty much the four of us, me, you, Jono, and Tim,
yeah,
somehow kept this going for 10 years.
I know, it's amazing.
Like the back and forth, and yeah, dealing with Tim's, he's on stage at Coachella right now. Like, I'll upload it when I'm done my set.
I know,
it's crazy. It's crazy. But I think that goes a lot to you and Jonathan, just in terms of, again, it goes back to that sense of community. Like, everyone wants to help. Everyone wants to be involved to get this content out because it's great content. It's fun. It takes you away from, like, life's hardships for an hour a week. And you get to hear two buddies just have a really cool conversation. So, like, kudos to you guys, I think, for building that and just, again, being your authentic selves while you do it. Because I think that's why everyone listens. It's awesome that
but
way.
That's it. You're you and Timbo, it's part of the team.
In the trenches. I kind of alluded to the book. I want to talk about the book a little bit because that was, I guess, like the first or the second kind of, I don't want to say spinoff from the podcast you guys toured, but then the book kind of came about. And you mentioned that it was just, was it something that you guys were just interested in trying? Were you approached? Was it just a way to get your content out in just in a different format?
Well, I mean, the amazing Jay Onright, who had done Anchor Boy, right? Anchor Man.
Anchor Boy.
Yeah. he did Anchor Boy. And Doug Richmond was working on that book with HarperCollins with him. And he was nice enough to introduce me to Doug. And I had a great conversation with Doug about, you know, writing a book possibly. And he said, he kind of, I'm not Jay Onright, you know, and I don't have a TV show on TV. So it's difficult to just get anybody to write a book, but he was interested in it. And I had some kind of clout in a manner. And the stuff that I had written that I let him see, he was like, well, yeah, because I guess he felt there was quality to the writing. And then I talked to Jonathan about it, and I don't know where it came up, but, you know, again, it clicked in. Well, why don't we do it with Jonathan and then have the book be about Canada and the pod and our individual stories or our lives? And at that point, Doug was like, well, that's like a home run. I could just take that in and get that sold to the guys upstairs, no problem. So, and he was correct. Like, he barely had to talk about it. So that was it. That was how the book kind of got born. And it was great. It was a great move for us. And Jonathan did a great job quarterbacking it in terms of, like, just the grunt work of grinding out thousands of words, you know. He definitely helped me out a lot. I had to cut out a couple chapters that ended up being a little too personal. So, you know, he definitely aided me for sure. So, but it was a great process. And then the audio side with Audible, it took me like three different days to do the book, and took Jonathan like one. He's probably done early, right? It's like,
actors.
To read the whole entire book, right? I'm like flubbing words and tripping over sentences, and Jonathan's just pounding it and finishing it. Book, whole page, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like your own personal history of going across Canada. And then again, you got listeners to the podcast to share their stories about growing up in certain regions of Canada too. So again, you guys, you continue to always bring in community, which again, just works so well from an engagement standpoint, and just keeping, making, again, making people feel like they're involved and like they're a part of what you guys are doing too. So we talked about the book, we talked about the album, we talked about the tours. We've talked about, like, again, you guys have done this for about 10 years now. You still love doing this. What's the plan for TNT in the future?
Well, I mean, we got to get back to doing some live shows. That's for sure. Keep on keeping on has been just for the pod. And that's it. I think some live stuff. I think getting back out there and seeing the bods in front of the lights really needs to get back into it. So yeah, I think, and you know, it's busy times and busy lives, like this podcast. It's like whenever there's stuff going on, it's really difficult to get it done and get it in properly. So now that our kids are getting older and they're not just babies in the house and they're running around and they got, you know, teenager stuff to do live. So it just makes your life more and more drive and chauffeur stuff and getting stuff done.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we have to carve out some time to do some shows for sure. And it's, you know, we do it all by ourselves. That's the thing, right? Like, we don't have agents or managers that are like 24/7 off after that stuff. So, and we, you know, that's the way we want it. We've tried other things, but this is the best way for it is to work for us. So, and outside of an agent would be nice, but
I was just going to hit on that. And maybe folks don't know, or I don't want to say appreciate because they probably don't know. It's literally you two.
Yeah.
It's a business. Don't get me wrong, but it's you two who are driving across the country together to go on tours, who are pulling merch to show after show. And the way that even the podcast is done, it's like, it goes to Tim. It comes to me. It's very indie, I guess you can call it.
Totally.
And you've
punk rock.
Yeah. Very punk rock. And you kind of answered my next question. You guys envision potential, I don't want to say growing it, cause it's grown for sure, but adding more, I guess, back end business to it, but it sounds like it does. That's not the way that you guys want to operate.
Yeah, I mean, not unless like there's an influx of corporation cash for it. You know, like if there was all of a sudden massive money that was coming in that could fund that kind of stuff, sure. But I just don't see that happening with, you know, how things, like, because it is what it is. The marketplace is what it is, and
yep.
There's only like two podcasts that make tons of money and the rest of them don't. Even like, oh, I know that podcast. It's like, yeah, you know that podcast, but like, here's the real numbers. Like, oh yeah, I guess.
Well, don't downplay. I mean, you guys have had millions of listens. Like,
no, absolutely. For sure. It's, but it's crazy. Just, you know, now even more than before how to monetize a podcast. Yeah. It's difficult. So, even with a lot of listens. So like, again, you have to really love what you're doing and grind it out. And that's the best way to do it. But the bottom line is, we're trying, you know, it might be difficult cultivating advertising to match that. But there's no reason why we can't do, you know, live shows or live events in that regard that would help facilitate more help, you know, business wise. So yeah, never say never. But again, it's me and Jonathan doing it, so it's not like we're going into the office and getting phone calls going all day about TNT. You know.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about music. I don't want to make this an OLP conversation, but more so, what are you listening to these days? I know you're playing a lot more now too. Mm-hmm. You've always played, but like I'm seeing more, at least on Instagram, you're jamming with some other artists right now and helping record. What's going on musically for you these days?
Yeah, I've been doing more session work and, you know, just helping other bands playing. And a friend of mine has a company and I've been playing with that band too. So there's all different little avenues of recording, teaching. I mentor some artists, just a little bit of everything, to be honest. I think once I moved to this house a year ago, it had the space to create this drum room. And that's kind of been the biggest difference. It's just I've been able to practice every day and work on stuff every day. So whereas before I didn't have a place to drum all the time, I would have to go and go to a studio somewhere else. So that's the biggest difference. I think when you're playing drums every day, I guess it shows to other people that you're playing drums every day, and then the phone starts to ring more.
You put it out there, you're going to get the attention, which is not a bad thing. So
yeah, no, it's good.
Any bands you're listening to specifically these days?
I keep listening, going further and further back. I mean, I listen to like modern stations, you know, how iTunes or Spotify or whatever will have like things that you like that might be new. Most of it's terrible, but you know, the odd one catches on. But I've really been going further back decades, and sometimes I'll just go to like 1966 R&B charts, you know, and just fire that up. And or I'll listen to old, like the non-singles of great records, you know, like whether it be Bee Gees or Jerry Rafferty or what, you know, just like weird British rock bands. Also, the studio musicians in the 80s and 70s in America, you know, like my Jeff Beccaro is a great drummer, and I'll look at records that Jeff Beccaro played on, or I'll look at, you know, Jim Gordon records or Jim Keltner, or different drummers that I like. I'll just kind of go through their catalogs. But I really like listening to music that's live off the floor. So it's pretty hard to find bands that do that now. It's more of a niche, I guess, now to find, but like everything in the 60s, 70s and 80s were, you know, not necessarily the 80s, but those other decades were just a band playing in a room together and just mics. That's how you get real energy, I think, you know, the essence of performing, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to fanboy here for a second. What is your favorite OLP song to drum?
Well, I always like Stealing Babies because Elvin Jones played on it.
Absolutely.
And he was my drumming idol, I guess. He played with John Coltrane, who's an incredible jazz artist. And, you know, it's amazing to get to know Elvin, but to get to watch him play and then play drums on top of his drums, like in terms of recording. It was just an amazing experience, man. And so it's hard not to pick that song, because when I learned that beat and song, I actually just like it affected. I learned so much of the pivot points that were involved with kind of playing on top of it. I was like, it just kind of changed the way I think in a lot of ways, you know. Just how he played time. So just by having to copy it and get the feel, it really opened doors for me in a sense, you know? Awesome.
Well, that's great. I love when music can do that. Not just like hearing it, but playing it too. Like I'm a very, very average guitarist, and I'm the same way. It's like when you learn that new technique, you learn that new thing, it's just like, this has opened up a whole new can of worms for me to like try all this new stuff that I never thought I could do before or never thought I could play before. It's awesome. Listen, man, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Thank you so much, pal. Like, again, it's awesome to hear. I think your perspective on the podcast. Podcasting is such a big thing, especially in the industry that I'm in. So getting someone who's done this for probably longer than a lot of people have, really cool perspective. So I really appreciate you sharing all your knowledge and experience there. How can people get a hold of you? How can people listen to you? Where can people find you?
You can get me on Instagram at Tagger7, TAGGAR7. The joke was like the T and the 7 look like T's. So it's like, looks like Taggart. But, Twitter is just Taggart7, TAGGART7. And, that's TaggartandTorns.ca, thanks to you. Right?
All these years later, it's still alive.
Yeah.
It needs a bit of a facelift, but I'll get there. Well,
okay.
It's got all the info. It's got
exactly.
We got episode recaps there from our Bob Ricky, which is awesome. All the music videos are there. I'm going to use, hopefully you don't mind, I'm going to use some songs from your album on this.
You can plop this on there too.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. All right, man. Thank you so much for your time today. And
anytime.
I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mike. You're our number one bot. See you in the rear view. If you could read my mind, then you'd know the score.
Yeah. Skirt. Thank you so much to Jeremy for joining me this week. 12, 13-year-old me who is a diehard Our Lady Peace fan is just pinching himself right now with the fact that I get to not only sit down with Jer and have a nice conversation with them, talk about the podcast, but literally for the last 10 years have the opportunity to collaborate and support him and Jonathan with their podcast, and kind of surreal. So I'm a little lost for words, but yeah, really, really, really cool episode for me. Let's talk a little bit about the music this week. It would be odd to not talk about music when you have a musician on the podcast or even feature the music of that musician and his bod. So this week, we played two jams from Taggart and Torrance album Buds, BAHDS. We played Terry Got Wasted at the beginning, and we ended off with The Score. Now, Terry Got Wasted is about, you have that one friend who you go away for a weekend and that friend likes to get blackout drunk, or just they're the party animal of the group. That's Terry Got Wasted. The Score is, if you listen carefully to how the song is sung, it's meant to be an impersonation of Gordon Lightfoot basically rapping, talking about living next door to Drake. And his manager, Bernie, played by Jeremy in the background with the, yeah, yeah, the accents in the song. Two great songs. The album is hilarious. If you've listened to the podcast, then you know a lot of the characters that are being featured in a lot of these songs. A lot of these songs are written based on characters that were created during and on the Taggart and Torrance podcast, which is really cool. So now you have songs to kind of reflect the characters. And again, it goes to the type of creativity that these two have. And listening to their audience. Funny how if you listen to your audience and give them content that they're asking for, people stick around. 10-year-old podcasts are not normal. Like Jer said on the podcast, it's not an easy business to be up in. There's only one or two podcasts that make really significant money. But when you enjoy what you do and you have that authenticity and you have that connection with someone, it just makes doing the podcast that much fun. And just seeing the joy that these two have having this podcast and sharing their stories with each other and connecting with their the listeners, their bods, it's pretty special. Let's go ahead and put a bow on this episode. We'll wrap up with the socials and how you can get in touch with myself or 3MG. You can follow me on LinkedIn at Mike McFarland. You can follow Mike McFarland Marketing Group 3MG on LinkedIn as well. You can follow Kim on LinkedIn. Kim McFarland, maybe Kimberly with an E, McFarland. I can't remember what she goes by exactly on LinkedIn, but you can follow Kim as well. You can follow us on Instagram at 3mg.ca. You can visit our website at 3mg.ca. If you're looking for MarTech help, looking for an extra hand, maybe you got something wrong with HubSpot. Maybe you got something wrong with your Eloqua. Maybe you want to build something new in your Marketo. Maybe you want to integrate Salesforce.com with HubSpot. Give me a reach out. Let me know. Happy to chat with you. Until next week, or next time.
10,000 square feet with a three-level deck. Crowds on their feet, wondering where I got this sick beat. Drizzy is my neighbor, he lives just across the street. He invites me over, borrows my lawnmower. We head to the club in our twin Range Rovers. Courtside at the Raptors, packed to the rafters. Rasai and Larry Obi at the private party after. Rainy day, people think they got me on the run. But the haters going down like the record.